Welcome to Your Life is in Your Hands with your host, Kenneth Lagerstrom. In this hour, you'll learn about something that many of us take for granted, our hands. Now, here's your host, Kenneth Lagerstrom.
Hello, and welcome to Your Life is in Your Hands. And I'm your host, Ken Lagerstrom, and each week we discuss a different subject relating to hands. And today's topic is palmistry and the lines of the hands. So if you've got any questions on that, you can email them in to voiceamerica@humanhand.com or phone in to our toll-free line at 866-472-5795. And joining me today is special guest Lynn Seal, a longtime professional chirologist from the United Kingdom. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, Ken. Thanks Hi. For inviting me onto your show. It's really exciting.
Very welcome. Thanks for being here. So how many years have you been doing the hand analysis and chirology now?
Sorry, how many years?
How many years, yeah.
That'd be a lot by now. I started over 20 years ago. I first started learning in 1989. And it happened when a friend of mine kept insisting that I went to have my palm read, and I really wasn't interested at all. I didn't know anything about hand analysis, but I think I thought it was a load of rubbish. But she was persisting in asking me, so I went along, and as it turned out, it was a fantastic experience, and it changed my life, really. The reading was incredibly accurate. I was so impressed. I had no idea that the hand could reveal so much about a person. And then the lady who did the reading, Belita, was starting to teach some classes. So by then, I was really curious to see how it's done. So I went along to her classes and studied with her for about 18 months.
Yeah.
And then I went on to read every palmistry book I could find, and I've never looked back.
Wow, so you were really lucky to get a real good one right off.
Yes, I was, wasn't I?
Yeah.
Yes, somebody who really knew her stuff, you know, it was brilliant.
Instead of one of the run-of-the-mill ones that is just going to predict your future?
Yes, well, there's a lot of nonsense spoken in the name of palmistry, isn't there? But there's also a lot of good stuff as well.
Yeah, and it can be hard to weed through the difference, especially if you're new to it.
Yes, it can. That's why it's a difficult subject to learn, really, because there are so many books, so many different ways of looking at hands, and you don't know what works and what doesn't, so you
exactly.
have to keep trying it and testing it.
And so many different complete systems in hand analysis. So
that's right, yeah. I mean, I learned two different systems.
So which ones do you use?
Belita taught me traditional palmistry, really, which is probably the system that the majority of hand readers use, where the fingers and mounts are named after the planets. So
right.
The thumb is Venus, the index finger's Jupiter, and then we've got Saturn, Apollo, Mercury, and there's a lot of focus on the mounts and the lines. And some of the teaching was based on the more predictive kind of hand reading.
Right, so basically along the lines of Benham and Kiro.
That's right, yeah. Yes, I studied, we read Cairo books. There was some Mir Bashir, so a bit of like Eastern style or Indian palmistry came into some of the teaching.
Right.
And also then went on to read some of the more modern authors like David Brandon Jones, Sasha Fenton, books from like the 1970s onwards. But despite reading loads of palmistry books, I still had a lot of unanswered questions about hands. And
yeah.
I was searching for something, but I didn't know what it was at the time. And then again, sort of fate led me in the right direction. In 1994, I met a guy who had studied five-element hand analysis, which was a completely new idea to me.
Right.
He studied with the Chirological Society in the UK, and this is hand analysis based on the five elements: earth, water, fire, air, and ether.
Right. So ether would be equivalent to void?
Yes. Well, ether's the complicated one. You can think of it like the spiritual realm. Ether is the one that brings all the other elements together.
Right.
So, yeah, this was a whole new way of looking at hands. So I signed up for the correspondence course with Christopher Jones, and I studied with him for 5 years. And actually, you had Jennifer Hirsch on the show, didn't you, a few weeks ago, and she studied with the Chirological Society as well.
That's right. Yeah, she did. She's done quite a bit with the five elements theory since then.
Yes, and I think Jen's is one of the few, or the only book, really, that's widely available about chirology based on the elements. So
right. Yeah.
The five element system takes a different approach, uses different terminology. So instead of planetary names, it's all based on the elements. And it's more holistic in the sense that every single part of the palm is ruled by one of the elements. So you can bring it all together, whereas palmistry itself is a little bit more fragmented.
Yeah.
So with the five element system, you can interpret all the features of the hands at all levels. So earth is physical, water's the emotional, fire's the creative realm, air the intellectual, and as we said, ether the spiritual realm. The sort of holistic part that brings it all together. So when I'm doing readings, I use both methods. I use the five element system and traditional palmistry as well, and they work well together and they can tell you a lot about people.
Okay, so you don't find there's conflicts or anything that can't be resolved in them?
No.
Okay.
No. In fact, the five element system explained a lot of palmistry stuff to me, that because it works on the underlying principles. Rather than, say, a specific sign having a specific meaning, you're looking at the deeper principle behind it. So it did make sense to me for a lot of the things that I didn't understand previously.
Okay, so it just kind of fills in the blanks.
Yeah, well, it did for me, yeah. Yeah, I thought it was brilliant.
Okay.
Became absolutely obsessed with it, yes.
Yeah, I know some, you know, when I was learning some of the different systems, the conflicts in there were almost not reconcilable.
You know, yes.
Especially when you start adding in some of the Vedic palmistry and the Oriental.
But yes, that's right. There are just so many different ways of learning. But I found that this worked for me, so this is kind of what I've stayed with.
Yeah, so, well, if you're using the five element laws then for it, or five element principles, how do they apply to the lines? Is there one line for each of the elements?
Yes, there is. There's more than one line, actually, for each of the elements, but every line, you can ascribe an element to it.
Okay.
So the life line, which is the one that curls around the sun, that's the earth element. The headline that goes across the center of the palm is the air element. That's to do with your way of thinking.
Right.
The heart line at the top of the palm is the water line. I'm looking at my hand. Like I'm pointing things
I know.
Out. Like you can see it on the radio.
I do that all the time.
Yes, it'd be so much easier if I could point to it and show you, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And then we've got the fate line that runs sort of up the center of the hand towards the middle finger.
Yep.
And that has, well, it's got some fire rulership and some earth. So, you know, you could go through every aspect of the hand and label it with an element.
Okay.
So the whole time you're looking at all the different combinations because we're all a combination of all the elements.
Right. So then what about the hepatica or health line? Is that going to be the ether?
No, that would be... ether doesn't sort of come into the labeling, really, apart from the thumb. Because the thumb, it doesn't matter how strong the rest of the hand is. If you've got a weak thumb, you can't express it out into the world.
That's right.
So ether being the thing that brings everything together, that's why the thumb is labeled with the ether.
Okay.
Digit. I've forgotten what your question was. Oh, the hepatica is the minor airline.
A minor airline. Okay.
Yes. So the hepatica is normally a health line. If it's all broken up and striated, It's a health line. And this is the side of air that relates to not the intellect and communication, but the physical, the body systems, such as respiration, the autonomic nervous system, really.
Okay.
The body processes we don't normally have to think about. So that's why the air element rules the hepatica. Okay. So when it's functioning well, it does become a more communicative line going towards Mercury. But when it's all in bits, then it's more the health side of it.
Okay. So it really doesn't matter the horizontal or vertical lines for it. That's not how the elements fit in?
It doesn't really.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so that's one of the differences there with the five elements law.
Yes, there's quite a lot of differences. Yeah. But, so all the time you're balancing different combinations of elements. So,
right.
Like, if you're looking at one feature of the hand, there's sort of four element possibilities, really, earth, water, fire, air. Combine that with another feature, you've got 16 possibilities then, four times four, so it multiplies as you go through the hands.
Right. So it's limitless as the types of hands and characteristics of hands on people.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to take a break now, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes with more with Lynn Seal on Your Life is in Your Hands.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Think of the world
50 years ago.
Now think of this same world and how it'll be
50 years from now.
Did you know that if the world's population continues to grow at its current rate, our children and grandchildren will only have 25% of the resources per capita that our parents and grandparents had? We must preserve the foundation of a quality standard of living. That foundation starts with Go Green Radio. Join your host, Jill Buck, for Go Green Radio every Friday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Voice America.
There's a course offered on Seventh Wave Network that you never saw offered in college. One that provides information on how to transform ancient wisdom teachings into everyday life. You'll learn how to create from your spirit and explore the world with all of your senses. Participation is encouraged. Enroll in Spirituality 101, the course you can't afford to miss, with your host, Reverend Norma. Classes in session every Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 noon Pacific Time, in your favorite classroom, Seventh Wave Network. Listen for The American Advisor with Joe Battaglia twice every week. This is a live call-in talk show where Joe discusses the economic and political events that affect your investments. Joe's macro market calls have helped thousands of investors pave their way to a more secure financial future. As a bonus, everyone who calls into the program will receive a 1964 silver Kennedy half-dollar coin that's been graded uncirculated. The American Advisor is heard every Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Variety Channel, and every Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel.
Awakened Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
This is Your Life is in Your Hands with Kenneth Lagerstrom. We encourage your participation in our program, so please call in to 1-866-472-5795. Again, that's 1-866-472-5795. If you have a question or comment about the program, you may also send your email to voiceamerica@humanhand.com. Now, back to Ken Lagerstrom.
Welcome back to Your Life is in Your Hands and Palmistry, the Lines of the Hands, with today's guest, Lynn Seal. So before the break, we were just going over a few of the basics on the five-element theory for hand analysis and that system. So when you're reading then with the lines, can you read just the lines in the five-element system, or do you need to look at other characteristics as well, like the hand shape and tone?
Yes, you look at everything, really, absolutely everything. So when I'm doing a reading, I mean, I think the rest of the hand is just as important as the lines. And some things may be even more important than the lines. So I look at everything, hand shape, skin texture, the back of the hand, the knuckles, the fingernails, the length and shape of the fingers, the flexibility and consistency of the hand, the skin ridges or dermatoglyphics, which are like the fingerprints and the palmar patterns. And I'd probably look at all those things before I even go on to the lines and markings on the palm.
Right, so the lines become more secondary then at that point.
Well, I think the rest of the hand tells you more kind of fundamental features about the person, what they're basically like, their character and that sort of thing, temperament.
Okay.
And the lines sort of cross the T's and dot the I's, tell you a bit more of the sort of nitty-gritty things of their life, really.
The details, right.
Mm.
But like you were saying, if they've got the really weak, poorly developed thumb,
yes.
And if the lines are showing wonderful successes, it's pretty hard to attain.
Yes, it is. It is. So you have to look at, basically, I think, anyway, the way that they go about doing things and the type of person that they are, because it helps me to interpret the lines once I've established that about a person. But really, when you're reading a hand, I think it's like doing a jigsaw. You're putting all the pieces together,
right,
to build up a picture of who the person is.
And yeah, and like with the jigsaw, do you sort of go with the frame first, or, you know, kind of always in the same sort of order? Or does it depend?
Usually. Yeah, usually I stick to a certain order. Like I probably look at the hand in pretty much in the order of the features that I just mentioned. I'll
right.
spend quite a long time looking at the fingerprints because I think they're very important.
Yeah.
But just occasionally, like you might come across a hand that's got some unusual feature that leaps out at you, so I'll focus on that first, or
okay.
I might jump about and do things in a different order. It just depends what I'm drawn to. But, yeah, right. I do tend to have a system that I use most of the time.
So when you're keeping that order, do you kind of look through everything first before saying anything, or can you go through
yeah.
and add the information a bit at a time?
Yes, I usually ask the client, first of all, I normally take handprints. So you've had a look at the hands when you're taking the prints.
Okay.
And then I look at the live hands. So I'll ask people to hold their hands up in front of me so that they're facing me, so I can just have a quick look at everything, a quick overview of the palm, the length of the fingers, the way they lean and bend. And then I ask them to shake the hand, because that helps to relax it and put it
yeah.
in a more natural position, and put the hands palm down on the table. So I'll do the back of the hand first.
Okay.
So I'll have a look at a bit of everything before I actually say anything, because really no one thing on its own means anything. You have to put it together with everything else.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, so, well, getting back to the lines, we're kind of getting off topic here.
Yes, we are.
With the palmar lines, so they're also known as flexi increases is the technical name for that.
Yes.
But I've been told by a lot of people that, you know, they think this is all garbage, hocus-pocus stuff. You know, it's just folds caused by, you know, where the hand bends.
Yes, that's what a lot of people say, especially skeptical people.
Yeah, I mean, I got into the field as a skeptic, but I've learned otherwise on that one. So
yes.
How do you answer the ones like that?
Yeah, well, first of all, if we're talking about creases, if you look at other crease lines on your body, so obviously, you can't look at the back of your knee very easily, but as you look at
inside
your wrist...
Inside your elbow, you can.
Yes, your wrist or your elbow. Those crease lines aren't as well defined as the lines on the palm. If you stretch your arm out, the elbow crease almost disappears. It becomes very faint. But if you stretch out the palm of your hand, the lines appear stronger. So even though they're known as creases, they are different to the other creases elsewhere on the body. Now, in the hand, you can find lines where the skin doesn't fold. Sometimes there'll be lines, for example, on the fingertips, and a line called the curve of intuition, and it's very hard to bend your hand in that position to form that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's all sorts of things you can argue. If the lines were caused by folding, why do we need to have two lines going across the center of our palm instead of one simian line. We wouldn't necessarily need to. You might expect people's lines to be similar if they do similar jobs that involve the same hand movement.
Right.
But they're not the same. Everybody's hands are individual. And in fact, manual workers who use their hands a lot usually have fewer lines than people who don't do manual work.
Yes, I've noticed that.
There is a scientific argument as to why the lines are not from flexing hands.
And that is?
So this is the main argument against them being crease lines caused by movement, because the lines on the palm are visible by the time the fetus is 3 months old. By 13 weeks, all the lines are there, all the main lines anyway. The lifeline starts developing at around, I think it's 7 to 8 weeks gestation, and then the heart line and then the head line. So around 9 or 10 weeks, they start to form. But the first reflex movements don't start till about 11 weeks or 11 and a half weeks.
Oh, so they're not already clenching their hand as a fetus.
No. So the lines, the three main lines are visible before even reflex movements are possible.
So it's really
can't be caused by folding the hand or bending it.
Okay, so it comes right back to the argument that it's caused by the sympathetic or parasympathetic nervous system.
Yes, it does.
A direct connection to the brain, basically.
Yeah, the nerves that stimulate the muscles are forming around the same time as the lines. And so, there does seem to be a connection with that. I mean, nobody really knows, to be honest, what the lines are for. One function is to anchor the skin to the palmar fascius to stop the skin moving about, basically, as we use our hands, because we need it to grip hold of things, and it would be no good if the skin slipped about. But from a palmistry point of view, I like to think of the lines like rivers of energy.
Yes.
Flowing across the hand.
That's usually how I read them as well. Here I am just massaging, moving around my hand to see how much it grips the skin.
See how much it moves. And yeah.
I
mean, if you compare it to the back of the hand, the skin moves a lot more on the back of the hand, doesn't it?
Yeah, except where I've got that couple nasty scars. The skin just doesn't move there.
You can even interpret scars sometimes on the hand, can't you?
Oh, yeah, and this one's on the back of the hand, so, you know, it's readily visible to everybody.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, back from the old teenage days.
Where were we? Rivers of energy, right. Sorry, the nerve impulses, that's what you said. Sorry, I'd lost my train of thought then. There are more neural connections between the brain and the hand than any other part of the body, both sensory nerves and motor nerves, so touch and movement.
The hands were more sensory nerves than the lips.
Yes, it has, yeah.
But when you add in movement, then there's more in just the hands.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, it transmits and receives more nerve impulses than any other part of the body.
Right.
There is I don't know if anybody's seen this picture of what they call the cortical homunculus, which is supposed to represent what our bodies would look like if they were proportioned according to the number of nerve endings in the brain.
Oh, I haven't seen that one.
I think it's Penfield, I think. Penfield's cortical homunculus.
Oh,
it's like a character with a really big head, as you said, very big lips, because there's a lot of nerves there.
Right.
But huge, huge hands. So if we were proportioned according to that, our hands would be like the size of beach umbrellas or something. So there's all that neural activity going on in a relatively small part of the body.
We'd look like bats.
Sorry?
We'd look like bats.
Yeah.
With their hands.
Yeah. So I like to think of the lines and markings being like an outward recording of this neural activity, kind of like a coded computer printout on our palms of this information exchange between the brain and the hand. And as hand readers, it's like our job is to decipher that code.
Right, and of course the signal's going both directions. It's not just...
Yes.
Yeah, you can't just read it from one area.
From the hand to the brain and back again, yeah.
Yeah.
And the nature of the lines and markings vary so much from person to person. They really do seem to say something about our individuality.
Well, yeah, a great example of that one is how on you see some hands that have four lines total, and that's it, you know, deep, clear lines. And then you see others that are just covered with tiny, fine lines all
right.
over.
Yes, so, you do. I mean, some people think that's to do with age. I've heard lots of people say, oh, you get more lines as you get older. And we might get more lines as we get older. I'm not sure, but...
on the face,
but... you can find people of all ages who might have either lots of lines on their hand or very few lines on their hand. So it doesn't matter whether it's an infant or an elderly person. They might have a lot of lines, or they might, as you say, only have the three major lines.
Right.
So
with the multitude of lines, then, do you interpret that just as the nervous, worrying temperament, or is there...
Yes. The more lines you've got on your hand, the more prone you are to worry and stress.
Okay.
So when there's very few lines, maybe just three or four lines on the hand, it's known as an empty hand.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, if there's only a few lines, they're often thicker or deeper.
Right.
Then people who've got lots of lines. The lines might be more deeply etched on the hand. Whereas when people have a lot of lines, there's often a very fine cobweb of lines all over the hand.
Right.
So people with empty hands tend to be relatively calm and practical.
Yeah. Okay, but we're going to have to take another break now and be back in just a couple more minutes.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
The Marsh Engel Show. Join the movement to empower yourself with the essentials of feminine power and success, and learn how women around the world are becoming more inspired, more influential, and absolutely amazing. Each week, Marsh sits down for an engaging conversation with women who are boldly committed to living their most amazing life. You'll discover ways to step into your greatest vision, deepen your relationships, and unleash your real creative brilliance. Get ready. It's time to jump into the conversation. That's Monday afternoons at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern for the Marsh Engel Show on the Voice America Business Network.
Haiti has been hit hard by a massive earthquake. Hundreds of thousands of children and families are suffering and without basic necessities. Save the Children is on the scene to save lives. Your donation is urgently needed. Call 1-800-SAVE-THE-CHILDREN or go online at savethechildren.org.
Stop wasting time. Get what you want. Live your dream life. The Dream Big Revolution. Imagine having more freedom, better health, more money, happiness. Could your business be more successful? Unless you're living the life you want, you're wasting precious time. Your life is too valuable to waste. Let Leanne Hilgers help you find health, wealth, and happiness. Listen in and live your dream life. Join the Dream Big Revolution. Tune in every Tuesday at noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific Time, on the Seventh Wave Network.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
This is Your Life is in Your Hands with Kenneth Lagerstrom. We encourage your participation in our program, so please call in to 1-866-472-5795. Again, that's 1-866-472-5795. If you have a question or comment about the program, you may also send your email to voiceamerica@humanhand.com. Now, back to Ken Lagerstrom.
Welcome back to Your Life is in Your Hands and Palmistry and the Lines of the Hands with guest today, Lynn Seal. So before the break, we were discussing quite a few things, getting quite sidetracked on our favorite topics here, but covering some of the multitude of fine lines or the empty hands that have just a few lines on it.
Yes, so the empty hands tend to be a calmer sort of temperament. They don't worry too much about trivial things. They sort of go through life on a day-to-day basis.
I find them much more forceful, though.
Pardon?
I find them much more forceful, though.
Yes, they can be. Yes.
Yeah, you just said calmer, and I've just seen a few of them in the office environments, and they were anything but calm.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. They were, you know, on their little tirades. They were the office boss, and they wanted it done their way now.
Well, that's interesting, because actually, people with empty hands aren't necessarily suited to an office environment. Perhaps they should take up farming or something instead.
Right. Keep it physical, yeah.
Often empty hands goes along with the earthy characteristics.
Yeah. Practical.
Yeah. So perhaps there's some frustration
that's coming out
with them. I mean, obviously, I am talking quite generally about that, because not everybody with empty hands is going to be calm. But generally, they tend not to worry too much. However, they can find it difficult to cope in a crisis when something does happen. So perhaps that's when the more forceful side comes out.
Okay.
Whereas people with lots of lines can often cope quite well in a crisis. But on a day-to-day basis, they'll be stressed, worried, more prone to anxiety, highly strung, building bridges before they get to them. What if this happens? What if that happens? So the more lines we have on our palm, the more we are prone to that sort of thing.
Yeah, and the fewer lines, the simpler they keep the life.
Mm. Seems to be, yeah.
Yeah. One thing I found interesting, though, is people that really start a meditation program, they find one that really works for them, they've been able to eliminate a lot of the fine lines on the hands.
Yes, you can do. And I always recommend that for people who've got lots and lots of, you know, this cobweb of lines all over the hand when they're looking really stressed. I always recommend something like yoga, meditation, breathing, relaxation exercises, because if you do it regularly, you can get rid of some of these small lines that are dispersing your energy, you know, the lines you don't need.
Right. Yeah, and of course we're talking about the fine lines here.
Yes, the very fine lines.
Because then, you know, there's also the hands that are covered with almost as many lines, but they're the really deep, clear lines.
Yes, there are.
You know, the ones that are sometimes called old souls.
I was just going to say that, yes. Traditional palmistry, they say they're old souls. They've been here before. There might be some hard lessons to learn.
Right.
But a lot of wisdom as well.
Now, those ones I don't find nearly as worried or worrying.
No.
Yeah, so...
No, there's something much deeper going on with those, isn't there?
There is, yeah. So, you know, in a nutshell then, what's the difference between a deep, clear line and a shallow one? You know, the very faint ones.
Well, a deep, clear line is... Going back to thinking of the lines as rivers of energy...
Mm-hmm.
If you've got a deep, clear line, it's like a fast-flowing river.
Right, and
so
a deep river.
The line's functioning quite well. You know, you can use the line well. Whereas if it's a shallow, faint line, then the quality of the energy of that line is not so good. It's more of a, you know, like a trickling stream rather than a fast-flowing river.
So they can only use their canoe, not the steamboat.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, it might not even be deep enough to canoe down it. So yes, it's better to have stronger and deeper lines.
Right. And so then, of course, any breaks in the lines is breaks in that the current or the river.
That's right, yeah. Any breaks will represent some change in the direction of the line. I mean, really, when you're looking at lines... You're looking at four main factors, which are the width of the line, the length of the line, the form or flow, that's the way it flows across the hands, and also the markings on the lines.
Oh, you don't consider color to be an important one?
Yes. Well, color, yes. Yes, color is as well.
Yeah. When you're reading color, do you... how do you factor that in for different races or like different skin tones?
Well, it does seem to vary. Whereas some hands will have actual like little markings on the lines. Others might have a little dot of pigment or something. So there do seem to be variations with different cultures or different colours of hands.
Yeah. You know, I found, just noted from my own observation that, you know, Caucasians will typically be more susceptible to having the dark red lines.
Yes.
Whereas African-American or dark-skinned have the more prone to the darker brown or black lines.
Yes.
But it also seems cultural that the darker-skinned people don't seem to have the anger issues. When they get angry, but it doesn't seem to limit them or be as hard on them physically as on the Caucasian.
Well, I haven't enough experience of that, really, to be able to comment on it, because the area where I live and work is mainly Caucasian hands, so...
Oh, okay.
You know, I get to see a few Asian hands, but...
I'm quite lucky here that way. You know, here in Vancouver, we've got just, you know, huge cultural diversity. You know,
yes, well, there is in lots and lots of parts of the UK, but not really where I live.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I found that one was really interesting because it really seems that the Caucasian body was less suited to handling anger.
That's interesting.
And they would get the, or more prone to getting angry and getting the ill effects of it.
Right. Yeah.
And it seems...
I mean, because I do tend to see quite a lot of... Anger's one of the things you can see on the hand, pent-up anger. There's often red areas on the hand.
Yeah. And conversely, the Caucasian hand, it seems, almost cannot have black lines. It's almost...
No.
It's like the Caucasian body self-destructs if they go into that resentment and need for revenge. You know, it just sort of... It wrecks their body, so they can't go as far as developing a black lines.
Well, this is something I've never even thought about. See, there's always more to learn, isn't there?
Oh, there
in
is.
Palmistry. There's always another perspective.
Yeah. But we are getting so sidetracked here. Well, okay, let's see. Our topic today is the lines on palmistry.
And we've talked about all sorts of things apart from the lines, haven't we? Should we...
Yeah.
Jumping
back to the lines, so what would be, are all the lines, do they have the same optimum appearance, or would some lines be better off looking deep and some faint?
Yes, I mean, for the major lines, it's better if they're clearer. It's best not to have too many markings on the lines, ideally, although most of us do have markings on the lines. It does vary depending on which line you're looking at as to which would be the sort of optimum appearance for it.
Okay. But generally speaking, you want them clear, clean, deep.
Yeah.
You know, proper length.
I mean, sort of medium width is best because... The width is like the speed of the river. So if it's too wide, it's a very slow flowing river. If it's a thin line, as we said, it's weaker. So medium width is best for the energy to flow along the line.
Right.
With regard to the length of the line, the longer the line, the more time you spend in it, really, the more you can do with it, the greater the range of application of energy, of that element or that aspect of life.
I like that way you put it, the more time you spend in it.
Yeah, well, the longer the line is, the more important it is to you and the further you delve into it, sort of thing.
Right, yeah, the more of your life goes into that.
Yeah.
And then what about left and right palms?
You know, left and right, well, I always read, I think it's important to read both hands. I know some cultures read the right hand of men and the left hand of women, but I think you have to look at both. In traditional palmistry, if you're right-handed, they say the left is what the gods gave you and the right is what you do with it.
Right, yeah.
But actually, it's a bit more complicated than that, because the gods gave us both hands. You know, we weren't just sort of born with the one and developed the other one. For most of us, you know, so we're born with lines on our hands, and the lines on both hands can change and develop.
Right.
So I think of the... There's different ways of looking at it. My view is the active hand, the hand you write with, say, is the dominant hand, and that represents, like, your public face, the you that the outside world sees, the active, developed, conscious you that's out there in the world doing things. So that can be like you at work, whereas the passive hand can be more like you at home. The passive being the inner, the private you, the side that not everybody sees.
Okay.
It stays more hidden. And it can also show undeveloped potential, latent talents.
Right.
And our inner instincts.
Yeah, and of course with the active hand, you can always verify it by comparing the length of both hands. Just put them palms together and compare finger length. And yet the dominant hand, the active one, is usually that eighth to a quarter inch longer at the middle finger.
Yes.
And then
the middle finger, because the index finger, I think, can often be
seen some hands of people that were just truly ambidextrous, and they had the index finger, for example, on the right hand longer, middle finger on the left, ring finger on the right, and so it was really hard to... how do you determine which is left, which is right? And, you know, they write with the right hand, play baseball left-handed.
Yes, you do come across some people. And then I think there has to be more sort of interchange in the way that you look at the two hands.
Exactly. Yeah, and I find with them, it's not... Their life doesn't work in sort of, here's my present and here's my long-term issues, like with most people.
Yeah.
Okay, but anyway, we're going to have to take one last break here and then be back in a couple more minutes with more of Lynn Seal on Your Life is in Your Hands.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
What is whole person healing? Via body, via mind, and via spirit. It's a dedication to the widest selection of healing practices worldwide whenever possible. Hosted by Professor Rustam Roy, a noted material scientist and the founder of Friends of Health, who will be here each weekend with the most in-depth information about whole person healing from the world's leading practitioners, spokespersons, and major supporters for this viewpoint. Tune in every Saturday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Health and Wellness channel.
When you were young, did you feel free to daydream? Were you full of questions such as why, how, and what if? Did you allow yourself to be carefree, to dance and sing? Did you create just for fun? Want to feel that way again? Reclaim your natural curiosity and creativity with Dr. Carol Stalka on Stargazing Stories, Sparking Your Creativity. Revitalize your life, work, and relationships. Be more playful, be bold, imagine, explore, and live more creatively every day. Tune in Wednesdays at 11 a.m. in the East, 8 a.m. in the West on Seventh Wave Network. Ready to lift your spirit? Join Karen Tatanich every week for Spirit Connections. Karen will share with you the power of energy work. It can get you through the good times and the tough times. Karen will bring together stories of hope and good news based on her work with all aspects of energy. There are people and companies out there that are bringing joy to our planet. You'll learn about the power of spirit at home, at work, and at play. Spirit Connections is broadcast live Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern on Seventh Wave Network.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
This is Your Life is in Your Hands with Kenneth Lagerstrom. We encourage your participation in our program, so please call in to 1-866-472-5795. Again, that's 1-866-472-5795. If you have a question or comment about the program, you may also send your email to voiceamerica@humanhand.com. Now, back to Ken Lagerstrom.
Welcome back to Your Life is in Your Hands and Palmistry in the Lines of the Hands with today's guest, Lynn Seal. So before the break, we were just getting sidetracked again, of course, So getting back onto the topic of the lines, because I just keep doing this with hands. Once I get going, there's just no shutting me up.
Yes, I do. I'm the same as well.
Yeah. Well, I know from my experience that the lines can and do change somewhat over time. You know, you can take photographs every 6 months and look at note some of the different changes. So how accurate can it really be for as a predictive art or, for predicting the future?
Well, I think prediction is very difficult from the hands because, as you've just said, the lines change. So you might see an indication of something for, say, 10 years' time if you're looking at the line chronologically, but you can't say for sure this will definitely happen because you don't know how it's going to change between now and then.
Right. And if you're saying it's going to definitely happen, in a way, aren't you kind of, you know, programming their mind to look for that? And
yes, I think so. You're planting a seed of thoughts, aren't you? And, and also perpetrating a sort of fatalistic approach.
Right. Saying they have no hope of changing it.
That's right. And I think as readers, our job really isn't to tell people what is going to happen because I don't believe we really know that. We can see indications and give guidance for the future.
Right.
I mean, for example, say you might see some potential health problem that could crop up in, say, 10 years' time. You can't say this will definitely happen, although some readers do say that. I think it means if you carry on as you are, then there's a good chance it might happen, but there are things you can do to change your lifestyle and you might be able to prevent the illness.
Yeah.
Just as we said about learning meditation, stress management.
Stopping smoking.
You can fade those little lines away and you might avoid having a breakdown or something later on.
Right. Yeah, speaking of breakdowns, one of the big ones I get all the time is with the broken line of life. And the people, you know, thinking, oh, does this mean I'm going to die?
It's one of the most asked questions, I think, isn't it?
And
the answer is no, it doesn't. Well, we're all going to die sometime.
Yep, human mortality rate is 100%.
Yeah, but the length of lifeline does not correspond to length of life. I can't say it often enough. I mean, that's the one thing people think they know about palmistry. Long lifeline means long life.
Right.
But there's no proof that that works at all.
And yet I've also seen the opposite ones where it did sort of work. They were kind of eerie, you know, the very short lifelines that there was no backup lines, no inner line of life or line of Mars, no line of fate to carry on that current or the flow.
Yeah.
And the one in particular, he did pass away fairly early.
Yes, but then there are also people who've lived to an old age who've got short life.
Exactly, yes.
So I don't believe you can predict length of life. I mean, a short lifeline might have a bit less energy. If you think of the lifeline as the earthy, the physical line, they might need to sort of pace themselves and have more rest than other people. Although, actually, people I know with short lifelines tend to run around at breakneck speed. Almost as if they're afraid that line's going to run out. They're going to run out of energy or something.
Or run out of time, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, but I find the ones that are really that short or broken, there's usually the modifying line or even the line of career just sort of acts as the lifeline.
Yes, that's why I said the fate line in elemental terms can back up the earth line. It's an extra source of support to the lifeline. And quite often, some people think they've got short lines, but actually, as you say, maybe it stopped and restarted and overlapped, and there is a continuation of it somewhere.
Right. Yeah, another good example of that one's the Simeon line. You know, where's the head line and where's the heart line?
Right.
And
the
some of the
Simeon
variations
line. Yeah, the single transverse palmar crease,
that's
isn't it?
One.
The Simeon
line.
And that is probably the most scientifically researched line on the hand, and yet at the same time, the most misunderstood, I think, by the general population.
Yeah, there's, of course, the link with Down syndrome and quite a lot of the other issues there.
Yes, I mean, the Simeon line, we should explain, is instead of having two separate lines across the palm, the head line and the heart line, they've become intertwined to form just one line going across the hand. And you find this on about 2 to 5%, I think, of the general population. But as you say, it is more common in the hands of people who have Down syndrome and various other chromosome disorders. Maybe something like 65 to 75% of people with Down syndrome have a simian line.
Right, so, but of course, it's not 60 to 75% of people with the simian line having Down syndrome.
No, that's right. That's the thing that often gets misunderstood. Like, I mean, naturally, if some people find a simian line on their child's hand, they get worried. But it doesn't mean that people with simian lines have a greater likelihood of developing a chromosome disorder. Not that you can develop it, you're born with it.
Right.
But people with chromosome disorders are more likely to have a simian line. It's the other way around. I hope I said that the right way around. And in chromosome disorders, the simian line is usually accompanied by other unusual hand characteristics as well.
Right, yeah. Martijana just mentioned something about that the other day with the, what did he call it, the high-positioned palmar axial triradius, I think it was.
That's right, yes.
Yes,
which is like a little sort of triangular-shaped thing, which is usually down at the base of the hand. But
yeah.
Especially in Down syndrome and other cases, it's often much higher up on the palm. But that's,
right.
We're getting a bit scientific and technical now, aren't we?
Well, yeah. tied in with the simian line there. Cause,
yes.
Again, you have to connect more than one trait to have it mean anything.
That's right, because everybody, I think one thing people with simian lines will share is intensity in some part of their character, because the head and heart lines are intertwined, so they're putting their heart and mind into everything they do. But the way they use it will, yes, depend on the other aspects of the hand.
Yeah.
But basically, yes, having a simian line can make it difficult to distinguish between thoughts and feelings because they're so combined. Am I thinking what I'm feeling or feeling what I'm thinking?
Yeah, it's sort of like they think-feel all at once.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
But people don't need to worry about having a simian line. There's some very, some people who are very successful have simian lines.
Yeah. So I understand you've got a course coming out soon.
Well, I keep saying this. I do teach locally, and the online course, I've been planning it for about 10 years. It's been written for about 2 years,
yep.
But I haven't illustrated it.
Oh, yeah.
It's so much fun teaching in class, and you can point things out, and it's a lot more animated, and you can look at each other's hands. And I'm just finding the online course a bit flat, really.
Oh, okay.
So I've got to find some way of illustrating it and making it more interesting, and then hopefully
maybe run it on video or something.
I did think about that. I'm not very good with technology, so I'd need some help with that, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would love to get that online course ready by the end of the year.
Yeah, well, hopefully that works.
Hopefully.
You know, there's so many courses out there, but there's only a few that are that good.
Well, you've got a good course.
Oh, well, thanks. Yeah, that was a lot of years in development. But we have now run out of time, so thanks for listening. This is Ken Lagerstrom with Your Life is in Your Hands, and thank you, Lynn, for joining me today.
Thanks for asking me.
Hope you've enjoyed this week's edition of Your Life is in Your Hands with Kenneth Lagerstrom. Please join us again next Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on Seventh Wave Network. Have a wonderful week.